I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network, and it's a pleasure to welcome Conrad Black, the distinguished biographer, writing most recently of his native Canada in the National Post, a distinguished publication north of our very friendly and open border with Canada. He also writes in American Greatness about American politics, but we begin with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. What I learned from Conrad's explication is that Canada for some time has been going through a self-analysis of its origins, which is a good thing. However, there are suggestions here. The origins investigation has led to people either condemning Canada or condemning themselves. I can't tell. Conrad, a very good evening to you. We come from the same place. We're the product of explorers and adventurers and people who took enormous risks in the 16th and 17th century, usually dying because of the risk. But eventually, we straightened out into two successful countries in the 21st century. So it is a puzzle to me to see that Canada is going through, not on the same scale, but in the same direction, the self-analysis that's leading many Americans to despair about our history. And I see that that's possible, that that's going on in Canada. What have you done to deserve this, to deserve this calumny?
Well, I think, and you were kind enough to read my piece, I don't think we've done anything to deserve it, but we're doing it anyway. You see, we're all unlicensed psychiatrists, although it is hazardous to behave as one, and it is particularly hazardous to purport to find the motives for vast groups, like the population of the whole country, nearly 40 million people in Canada. But my guess is that our academic and media communities and elements of the social welfare network, the more particularly the more intellectual and strategic minded members of that community, are whether they're conscious of it or not, influenced by this soul searching and virtue signaling and frankly extreme self criticism that widespread elements in the United States are engaging in, accusing the United States of being a racist country and so forth. And since we cannot make exactly the same claims, there really never was any slavery other than amongst some of the native tribes in this country. I mean, not because we were so virtuous, but as you know, the economic rationale for slavery is that African or Caribbean people were more adept at bringing in tropical crops like cotton and tobacco, and we don't have those in this country, so there was never any economic need to bring slaves into the country. So all those who are non-whites who are here came voluntarily and tend to be, one, well-received, and two, happy to be here, and can't make the kind of, utter the kind of grievances that are widespread now in the United States African-American community. So we have settled upon this idea that we hideously mistreated the natives. Now, look, they had grievances, and we didn't handle it terribly well at times. I agree with that. But if you ransack Canadian history, you never find any incident of an official attitude that was based on trying to damage the native people. Often we did damage them by bungling the policy we imposed, but the motives weren't bad. And so I am taking exception to this movement, which I believe is imitative of the United States, whether consciously or not, of accusing us of being systematically racist and having practiced, and this is a quote from the former Chief Justice of this country, of having practiced cultural genocide, which does not exist, as you know, where you're adding the syllable C-I-D-E to the end of something. It is the physical extermination of it, whether it's suicide or genocide or fratricide or homicide, whatever it is, and we didn't do that. We never attempted to prevent the native people from speaking their language. We tried, not terribly well at times, and we tried to help them, and so I object to what I consider to be a blood libel on the founding races of this country, the English and French Canadians.
Is there some balm here that restores Canada? I'm unaware that Canada lost its opinion of itself. Did that happen and I missed it? You mentioned in 1996, the Royal Commission on Aboriginal Peoples transferred or assigned one-third of Canada to the First Nations. Was that meant to be...
No, they recommended it. Fortunately, okay. They didn't have the authority to do anything like that.
What drove that? Was that an early version of this self-condemnation?
Yes. This was when it really took the commanding heights of the argument. And basically, when you get right down to it, the argument was that the Europeans came as invaders. Now, they didn't use the parallel I'm about to draw, but in effect, they said that Canada, as it now is, was occupied by the native people, which is a load of bunk. It's 3 million square miles here. It's a huge country next to the Soviet Union, now next to Russia, the biggest land mass of any country in the world, larger even than the United States or China. And there were only 200,000 natives in it. They weren't occupying this country. And the argument was that effectively the Europeans arrived and their status morally and under international law was scarcely different to that of Hitler and Stalin invading Poland. Now, they didn't use that example, but I'm using it. But that's effectively what they were saying. And therefore, what we should do is carve out one-third of the country, give it back to the native people at 4% of the population. We'll give 4% of the people, 33% of the country. And they won't pay taxes. We'll pay for them, the rest of us, the other 96%, will pay for them to sit in a third of the country. And that is our reparation to these people that we treated so terribly. Well, I mean, this is simply insane. But what happened was, as frequently does happen, the media didn't explain it right, and we got a lot of well-meaning, I suppose, for the most part, people up on their soapboxes announcing that frightful things have been done, and we have to atone for it all. And the country hasn't grasped just how monstrous this proposed reparation is. And so that was the reason I wrote two pieces consecutive weeks explaining how this unutterable nonsense has been foisted on the country.
Is this taught in the grade schools? Is this part of civics lesson?
I think it's crept in, but it's not, as far as I can see, as widespread as some of these subversive arguments in the American educational system that your country was set up essentially as a slaveholding proposition, all that rubbish about 1619 and so forth. You know, as if the three-quarters of Americans who disapproved of slaves were accomplices in slavery, and the whole point of setting up an English-speaking European settlement in what is now the United States was to feed slaves to the British Empire. It's a complete fraud.
Well, what I was taught,
truth in any of it.
What I was taught about Canada, and I've got your book, so I know what you say. It's just that I'm trying to remember my education, was that Canada was where you flee to if you were an escaped slave. Or where people
40,000 of them we received in the 30 years before the Civil War.
Right.
Harriet Tubman, who's now on your $20 bill, replacing Andrew Jackson, I believe, she lived in Canada at times.
Right.
John Brown himself lived in Canada at times. And the model for Harriet Beecher Stowe's Uncle Tom's Cabin, I forget the name, Henridge or whatever his name was, he lived in Canada for years. And the fugitive slaves were admitted to Canada and treated as equals in Canada. And Abraham Lincoln, President Lincoln himself, thanked Canadians for disrupting anti-union activity in Canada, where some anti-union schemers from the Confederacy came up here and tried to bedevil the United States across the, you know, Niagara Falls and where Detroit now is and so on. And the Canadian authorities weren't having any of it. They wouldn't stand for it.
So what I also remember, going back one war, back to the Revolution, which was a civil war, is that the United States sent an expedition, Benedict Arnold, to conquer Canada, and you quite correctly pushed us back. And Canada became clear.
And he came with Benjamin Franklin. I mean, Arnold at that time was a loyal revolutionary, before his change of mind. But he came with Benjamin Franklin, and they called upon the French to join them in kicking the English out of Canada. And the British had the intelligence, had a very wise governor named Carleton, And he made an arrangement whereby the French were guaranteed their language, their religion, and the civil law, and they would remain loyal to the British crown, and they adhered to that. Both sides adhered to it, and Arnold and Benjamin Franklin were sent packing. You're right.
So what I learned from all of this, and there's more Canadian history that I did not get as a young person, so forgive me, is that if there is an example of the virtuous in North America, it's not the United States, it's Canada. And yet, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, is there a constituency for this? Is it in Ottawa entirely? Or are there people in other cities?
There's a victim industry, you see, and you get these charlatans who stoke it up and make a fortune out of it for themselves. And they're highly paid to launch all these lawsuits all over the place. And you get these spurious, asinine outbursts of absurd litigation that under our book of practice should be thrown out as frivolous and vexatious, where people say, well, you know, we had a thing a few years ago where a band of 900 people said that an attempt to build a ski area in the Rocky Mountains was going to drive away the spirit of the grizzly bear that was the heart of the religion. And they went twice all the way up to the Supreme Court of Canada with this absolute nonsense. So there's a victim industry, but it's Canada, so you don't get violence. It doesn't get really out of control. It's just absurd, not threatening.
Conrad Black, writing at the National Post, two columns about Canada, our neighbor to the north, our best trading partner, our best ally, being condemned by our adversary as a running dog of the U.S. The puzzle. We're going to turn to the U.S. politics when we come back. To the last of the anti-Trumpers. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.